Right now on VFN TV, the biggest case facing the Supreme Court in 25 years on abortion. We'll be talking about that today with Lila Rose with Live Action. And it's an exciting time. We'll talk about that. In addition to, a study just found out that people that are involved in a mega church actually have less people involved in the ministry in a mega church than they do smaller churches. We'll be talking about that. In addition, a pastor in China has been sentenced to 14 years in prison in China because he resisted the cross being taken down at his church. Can you believe that? And Wisdom Moments right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
I saw in a dream young people, I would say teenagers, maybe 20-year-olds, and they were crying. God says things are going to get so bad soon that the draft is going to be reinstated in the United States of America.
I ask that the Congress declare a state of war.
And the kids that have to go to war don't want to go. They're not ready. They're not ready mentally, physically, let alone spiritually. They were crying as draft was being reinstated, and it was a time of great confusion.
The next 8 years in America will be worse than the last 8 years.
Chuck Pierce said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America's going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? You're about to see all that again. As soon as that was said, that America is going to go back to the 1960s. And let me tell you something, the 60s were horrific. John F. Kennedy, assassination of John F. Kennedy, you had the riots, we had Vietnam War, we had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. Everything started breaking apart in America, and it's like, that's where, when that statement was made.
The people of God, the church, the people of Israel, always ignore the prophets, right? It's what we do. We just go, nah, you're kind of a hothead, we'll kill you or ignore you. And then 1,000 years later, we say, man, Isaiah was a great guy.
He was
just wonderful.
Holy Spirit said this year will be a very unusual wind and an unusual year on many levels. As a matter of fact, a phrase will be repeated over and over on the lips of people of many nations. You will hear it said, I have never seen anything like this before.
Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time. You're going to see, as men speak of pockets of selective judgment, so likewise there is pockets of selective revival. And it will be known as the rural revival.
If my people, who are called by my name, will do these things, I'll heal their land. And he's never needed a majority. This is what I keep telling people. We don't have to get 51% of Americans doing this before God can move. He has always worked through the remnant.
You know, God is not a donkey and he's not an elephant. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates his mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ, because time is of the essence and the waters are abundant for harvest.
You're going to start seeing more miracles outside the church than you see inside it.
You don't know what to do. You just see some activity and you think, I want to go there. You know, and then you get there, since you don't know about being discipled, you don't know about connecting, you don't know about finding your purpose, nobody's teaching you that. But they show up and they bring trouble because they don't realize if you're going there and that's where God's called, you need to be there.
Today is a divine exchange and my people will no longer align themselves and agree with the enemy.
A portal for angelic visitation would come in that could not be stopped in this nation.
And the Lord said, I'm raising up columns. I'm causing alignment to occur. And I will be sending forth column after column after column until the enemy is pushed out of your sphere.
God said, I've released my
my spirit, and the spirit is going to rush to you. As a matter of fact, he's rushing to you even now as you hear this.
Like, we're called as one to be able to move in unity. And so, you know, where are we? Where are you connected at? Where are you related?
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
I would say to you, this is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
Coming together is so important. Can you imagine this thing kick in and you're not even connected to one person?
Phase two of the Third Great Awakening has begun.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Well, the biggest case in 25 years is coming before the Supreme Court. It's a case on abortion. It has to do with Texas and state laws being able to regulate the health care in their own states. Now, Lila Rose with Live Action, she's going to be speaking on this, but think about this. The courts are split now, because Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia has passed, and now you have split vote right now with a liberal view and a conservative view. And the best case scenario would be, if they tie on their particular votes on this particular case, that means it goes back to the state, and the state, it was original 10 of the founding fathers, that can decide what's right for their state. As a matter of fact, let's just take a look right now. This is Lila Rose with Live Action.
Tell us a little bit about the Supreme Court case that's going to be argued this week as it relates to abortion. A big case in front of the Supreme Court.
It's the biggest case, some are saying, in 20 years.
Yeah.
Whole women's health and the oral arguments were this week. And the very fact that it went to the Supreme Court, I mean, it's just a tragedy that they contested Texas's right to regulate the abortion industry in their state. Basic regulations that say that they have to be an ambulatory surgical center, that, you know, the hallways have to be wide enough to fit a gurney through, things like that, that are very basic protections for women's health. The abortionists have to have visiting privileges at a hospital, so that if a woman goes to the emergency room afterwards, there's a connection in seamlessness in her care. Basic things, and yet, of course, the abortion industry in Texas raised a ruckus, Planned Parenthood raised a ruckus, and that's why it ultimately has gone to the Supreme Court.
It seems like they're just looking for anything. Loopholes, whatever they can try to do here to somehow stop this pro-life movement from happening.
Well, exactly, and here's the thing. Abortion facilities don't care about women's health. They care about their bottom line, and they care about their ideology of committing these abortions against these children. And so these basic medical standards, ambulatory standards for these facilities that they don't want to meet meant that over a dozen facilities closed down in Texas. So it hurt their bottom line. They're not able to commit as many abortions, and they're not able to make as much money, which is, again, why this case is at the Supreme Court, because they're saying this is hurting our ability to run our businesses. Well, look, it's not about your business. It's about the health of women, and it should be about the protection of the lives of these children, preborn children.
So just real quick, any sense of the prognosis as to what, or not the prognosis, but what might happen in terms of result now with Antonin Scalia's death? I mean, what if they deadlock 4-4? Would it go back to the lower court? And that's
exactly
that's
good news. If it deadlocks 4-4, there's no ruling there. I mean, it's equal. It equals itself out. So that's what we hope for. We don't want there to be a 5-3 in a terrible scenario, but we think it will likely be 4-4, and if that's the case, then this case does go back down, and in that matter, Texas should have its right protected at a lower level to be able to regulate abortion facilities.
Thanks, Lila.
Thank you, David.
Okay. Think about that. I mean, if you're a business person, you know what it's like for all the regulations they give you. I remember beginning an assisted living facility in the state of Florida, and how everything this building could be used, this building couldn't be used. This particular kind of door had to be on the room, that kind of door couldn't be on the room. Hallways had to be 36 inches, 48 inches. Bathrooms had to be 5 foot by 5 foot with 6 foot this. And it's like, that's just standard operating practices for taking care of the citizens of a particular state. And what they're saying is you can't even get a gurney if, and they admit that a certain number of women end up having to go to the hospital because something that happens to them when they're killing that baby in that womb. I mean, they call it aborting the baby, but they say they're going to have to take them to the hospital. And it just makes sense. Why are we so okay with it in America that you can basically go to a back alley building with no protection over the patients that are in that particular room because it's abortion? And it's like, you know, Texas has the right, according to the Constitution, to be able to make those rulings. And it's interesting to me, too, how when Justice Antonin Scalia goes hunting, the deciding vote, it would have been decided 5-4, all of a sudden he just doesn't come back from the hunting trip. I don't know, but I know that one thing, God is for not taking the life of children. I just think about this morning when I was spending time with the Lord in my abiding time. And in that time, I was reading in Leviticus when he was talking about his people. He said, listen, if anybody offers a sacrifice to Moloch, he says, that particular person has to be dealt with. It was a sin. And you think, well, that's the old covenant. But understand this, that's a sin. Well, then he says, and if you don't do anything about it and you know it's happening, that's a sin. And then he said, and if you don't do something about it, I'm turning my face against you. I'm going to turn my face against you. And as a whole people, if you sacrifice to Moloch, which they take children, what they would do to Moloch, they would take children and they would kill the children for their own benefit. And that's what abortion is. Abortion is basically taking the child. Somebody says, you know, I want a boat. I want a career. I don't want to have to live my life for someone else. I just want to kill this child. Can you imagine this? Imagine this. You get married and all of a sudden you're finding out, man, this spouse, you know, he or she's a pain. I mean, it's difficult. Life's difficult right now. And somebody telling you, well, do you ever think about aborting them? I mean, that's what's happening to children right now. Because people think, oh, I'm going to have to work longer hours, or I'm not going to be able to have these vacations. I won't have all this stuff and things. Just kill your baby. I mean, that's what's taking place right now. And God says very specifically in that he turns his face against the person, against the people, and the ones who know about it and don't do anything about it or confront it. He turns his face against them. Well, you think about this. It's so important that God gave his son to die for that sin. It's such a horrific thing. And sin is, we've all sinned, we've all fallen short. But if we just go on sinning and not confronting it and say, we have to deal with this issue, end abortion in our country, then God will turn his face against America. Things can turn around, but I just want to encourage you, pray for the Supreme Court, pray for Texas in this ruling, because the things work off precedence, you know, in case law in America. So if that decision stands, they have a statement called let the decision stand, and all the other states can actually begin to make those laws as well. What's happening? Abortion clinics are closing. Are women clinics closing? No. Places where they kill children in the womb is closing. We've been praying for a long time. Dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. God is answering our prayers. And we just want to believe and pray for Texas that this thing will stand and that they'll be able to have these particular healthcare rules and regulations over the abortion clinics, which basically says get right or close down. And if they're not going to get right, they need to close it down. After this break, we're going to be talking about, just shifting for a moment here, about a large church gathering. They call it mega church gathering. A study just came out that says that people that are in these large gatherings, they're less involved than members of smaller church gatherings. What's up with that? Join us at the break. We'll talk about it.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings, and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. That is exciting that the case is coming before the Supreme Court. It is interesting that, God's the giver of life, the taker of life, but sometimes men take lives. So you just don't know. It's just odd. The most conservative judge appointed by Ronald Reagan just happened to go hunting right before this decision was coming up, which probably would have been a 5-4 decision.
That's right.
That said, basically, states will regulate abortion. That will change everything.
Yeah. With a pillow thing. I mean, with Antonin Scalia, just like what,
a pillow?
Yeah, they said something they found them with a pillow around his, above his head or something like that in his face. Is like, what is all that?
What? I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, that came out. And then, later on they said it was, he had medical history and some other issues.
Of a pillow on his face.
Yeah, but it's just like, this doesn't seem right. You know what I mean? Just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, he had a medical history of being held underwater for a long period of time. That don't make no sense.
I know it.
But you know what? Many are the plans in men's hearts, but it's God's plans that prevail. Mm-hmm. The answer is not a conservative judge. The answer is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But speaking of the church, the body of Christ, this survey, talk to us about the survey, because, the first thing you think of, this is what everybody thinks of, that if it's bigger, it's better.
Yes, it's America, isn't it? I mean, that's
if taking two doesn't work, take four. Right? And if you see a crowd of folks, a whole bunch of people together, that means a whole bunch of stuff's being done.
Must be right. Just follow the crowd, you know.
That's not necessarily the case, is it?
No.
But now they've done a study on that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. If a crowd would have been the answer, if having 10 million people, and I love being with as many believers as possible, but if that was the ultimate answer, do you think Jesus missed it because he had 12? I mean, think about it.
That's right.
But he rocked the world with 12. I mean, And it sort of makes you think about, and this survey kind of reveals, is when we get together in large groups, we tend, I think it's the best place to hide. I mean, if you want to hide, get in a crowd somewhere.
That's one of the factors. It's one of the factors that you actually came out
with. What is the survey? Yes. Who's done the survey now?
Well, it was Duke University that conducted this survey. It's an American Sociological Association journal published this finding, and actually spearheaded by a former pastor in Canada who wanted to find, this is something, a question that he actually had to ask himself, because the denomination he was a part of was promoting, hey, we need to build larger churches, the ability to reach more people. This is the way we're going. And
it's the mechanism, it's like that because a bigger building wins more people. It gathers more people. It don't necessarily win more people.
Exactly.
It doesn't activate more people. And, why didn't Jesus have a building? They wouldn't even let him in one.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even let Jesus in one.
Listen,
I got a good friend that's a building. I'm not talking anything about buildings. I like buildings. Keep you out of the rain, keep you cool in the heat, keep you warm in the winter. I'm not talking about that, but did Jesus mess it up? I mean, did he get it wrong? I mean, his mom came to him and thought he was losing his mind.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
You remember? Because he didn't
absolutely.
Eat. He was in the house. They went down there and they said, knocking on the door because Jesus was in a house.
Yeah.
God. Think about this. God was God. Emmanuel, Jesus, God in the flesh, was in a house with his disciples around him, like in a circle. And his biological family was knocking outside the house and said, tell him his mom was here. Jesus. Your mama's here outside.
She's coming to get you.
Your brother's here. Think about it. He goes, who is my family?
Mm-hmm.
He said, listen, we gotta leave this house and get to that building. I mean, he said, who's my family? Of all the things, I mean, he was sitting with his family. I mean, big gatherings are great if there's a whole bunch of small gatherings in the context of those gatherings. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. It just
seems like the measurement has been about how many we gather as opposed to how many we scatter. It's supposed
or
to be
spread
a
out, yeah.
It's supposed to be sending out.
Yeah.
But this is what their conclusion
basically turned into the cummy church instead of the goey church, right? And he says, go into all the world. And we're just saying with billboards and advertising,
Ketchum to the built-in, you know.
It's maybe the pep rally for the big game is outside of the walls, not in the walls, right?
I mean, well, you know, God specifically spoke to me about that. I was in this particular vision. It's a night vision, actually, like a dream. And I was sitting outside waiting for the church to come out to the world to win. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And he's showing me what's happening inside.
Were you getting older and older and older?
I was melting. And these are people that you would think is alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching God show me what's happening inside that building. And they were just busy, 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 you know, doing all this nothingness stuff and just wouldn't come out of the building.
Wow.
And then the Lord spoke to me and it's like, you're going to have to move on because they're not going to come out. They're not going to come out. We're called to go into all the world. The building, it's a facade thinking that we can be safe from the world. We're called to go into the world and be the light in the midst of the world. And it just came back up about that reality of that.
So true.
So what does this study say?
So this is what they say. They say that according to this abstract, this study that they conducted, there's a negative relationship between size and the probability of attendance for conservative, mainline, and black Protestants and for Catholic parishes larger than 500 attenders. So there's this negative connection between size and the probability that members, the church, are actually going to show up. They say
so you're saying people that are taller don't do as much as people that's not as tall?
No, the size of their fellowship, I guess the size of their gathering. The larger the gathering, the mega church, the less likely that people are going to be attending.
Totally
the
antithesis of what most people think.
Of course, right.
Because the drama's bigger.
Yeah.
The music's bigger. I mean, you got to have like French horns.
Yeah.
And you have bass guitars and you have choir robes. I mean, it's got to be doing more, right?
Drive in, you know.
Yes. You have little golf carts that pick you up and take you up, which is great. I would
barcode the children, you know, the whole thing, you know.
Did you scam my child lately? Okay.
So,
which is good to have a tracking system with the crowd.
Of course. It says the addition of control variables does not change these patterns. These results support the theory that group cohesion lies at the heart of the size of participation relationship in churches. This is what they go on to say. With the rapid growth of megachurches in the United States, a negative relationship between size and the frequency of attendance could serve to accelerate aggregated declines in attendance. So it doesn't necessarily mean, like we just stated, that the larger the group, the more faithful that the church members are going to attend. But this is what Christian Post is. They interviewed Dr. Eagle, who was a former pastor in Canada. This is what he explained. He says that he became interested in this topic while serving as a pastor in Canada. And he says, I also pastored at a time when leaders in my denomination really pushed church growth and argued that building big churches had the most promise of attracting non-Christians. He continues to say that I was skeptical of this approach and began to think that an emphasis on growth could lead to unintended consequences, things like creating a less involved membership. So at that time,
there's always somebody else will do it if you got a crowd.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's not true because the crowd normally hires someone to do it.
Yeah,
that's the benefit of being in a crowd is you don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
You can hire somebody and you can watch church.
You didn't read this survey because that's exactly what they're talking about.
All right. You can watch church.
Yeah. He says, what I found really interesting was that the rapid increase in the number of big churches might actually tie into what many have observed as the declining importance of religion. Then he says this.
The declining importance of religion, which we should pay a huge attention to.
Yeah.
Because bigger is not necessarily better if it's causing a decline in people coming to God.
Well, they're even, I mean, right now, if you're just paying attention at all, they're coining a major phrase called the cultural Christian, whatever that is. But they're actually saying, you know, that there is a such thing as that.
Right.
What is that? You know what I mean? It's like, are you a follower of the Lord or not? But this is what they go on to say. I wondered if megachurches are a reflection of that, and they provide places where people can go less frequently, whose comings and goings may not be noticed, and where more staff means that they don't need to take on as a major volunteer role as they would in a smaller church.
Wow. So they did a study to find that out.
Yeah.
I remember somebody saying once, he said, you know, I'm trying to find a place that I could go to that nothing's expected of me. Oh, I know, hey, if I stay here, then I'll have to do something. And it's right. Like, we're doing as leaders, we should not give any impression whatsoever to the church that God does not expect them to be fruitful, because they're going to have to answer alone. You answer alone before God. Listen, I don't care if your pastor told you, you don't have to do anything.
Mm.
You don't have to be fruitful. They'll do it all for you. You just show up for the show and do your little part in the Easter play. You got to stand alone before God. No witnesses, no suspects. You can't even blame your pastor, you know, for decisions that you've made in regards to this. You've got to answer to God.
Yeah.
You've got to answer to God. And so, you know, I think of Discovery Channel, when you watch people getting bigger houses that are just, you know, yeah, you got two people in your home.
Yeah.
What you need such a huge house for?
Yeah.
We're getting bigger buildings and bigger buildings. Even one that's in, I don't know where it's at, you know, it looks like a shoe. They made it look like a...
Oh, my goodness. It's in Asia.
Yes.
Yes, a shoe. They made a building, church building, look like a shoe.
Because they want to be able to attract more women.
Yeah.
Crazy. We're going to be back in a moment. We got this offer for you. We're going to continue this conversation. Plus, we have so much for you, including a wisdom moment.
We're so excited about this offer we have available for our VFN TV partners. For your partnership for any amount whatsoever, we have this offer. We'll send to you DVD or online where you can watch it. It's called One Thing in 2016. Offer 2001 is learning the keys to success, prosperity, and peace no matter what or who may come your way. This is so important to be able to keep your peace and focus on the Lord, just like David did when all these things were happening against King David. He was just doing his job, but an entire government was coming against him led by Saul. Guess what he did? He focused on the one thing. This is an encouraging word. We have it for you for any gift whatsoever. Just go to VFNTV.com, upper right-hand corner, click on partnering, or you can actually call 844-408-3688 or write to VFNTV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. One thing in 2016. God bless.
This is VFNTV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Religious censorship continues to happen in high schools all across America. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My son has to give a speech at graduation, president of student government. He was told specifically by the administrator that the speech has to be inspirational without religious reference.
Well, that's absolutely incorrect. The student, as the designated speaker on an objective criteria here as the president of the Student Government Association, is allowed to give the message that he wants to give, that he thinks appropriate, without censorship or government removal of religious references. It can include a religious reference, and the student government president allowed to speak is a position where he's been able to speak because of a neutral criteria. It wasn't based on religious beliefs or practices. He was the student government president, and they get to speak at the graduation. So he's really should be in good shape.
Have you been discriminated against because of your religious beliefs? Visit ACLJ.org.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and it is a big link right there in the middle that says visit our sponsors, I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, mm-hmm, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth.
And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We were talking about the survey that was done, and the survey by Duke University, Dr. David Eagle, PhD, says that, you know, mega churches, which is really probably 1,000 or more.
They actually, in this study, they say 500 or more, but
500 or more. If you're a pastor, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot.
The way this present model is set up.
Isn't the average size like something like 100 or something like that?
99. I think the 99. But the mindset is the 99 feel like that, oh, we just need to be a mega.
Yeah.
But statistically, we're finding out you're doing more with a 99. But it said, this is what it says, the article says that we're talking from. You know, mega churches have less involved members than smaller congregations. Mm. The study finds out with Duke. And you have to answer, we're talking about before the break, we have to answer for what we've done. We have to, you want to do something, at least you do nothing. I mean, do something for God. And there is something very specific to do. You know, we have for you at VFN, VineFellowshipNetwork.org. You can go there and click on to Emmaus Road Discipleship, and we have Multiply Movement, or we have even other opportunities there. But it begin to show you that God has called us. You know, Francis Chan does an excellent job of talking about, you know, we're called to be disciples. We're called to be disciples. We're called to be disciple makers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's think about it. That's what we're called to do. We're not called to sing another song. I mean, think about it. Jesus didn't have a worship team. I love music. I mean, I thank God for worship teams and God's presence and that comes when people, our hearts get released during worship. But he didn't have a worship team.
Yeah.
He was going out without having any sopranos, altos, or choir robes, but he just went out and loved folks and met needs and laid hands on the sick. And it's like...
Wouldn't you say, would you say that the present mindset today is that most ministry has to take place inside of a building as opposed to out in everyday life where life intersects?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you saw even in the program today that your Dutch Sheets, with Dutch Sheets Ministry, is saying that God's about to move powerfully, but he's going to move more outside the building than he is inside the building.
Praise God.
Well, that's where the people are.
Yeah.
Are the people that, you know, God's called us to are in the world, the 7 billion folks. There's more people out of the building than in the building. If we can get just the mindset right around the building, then the buildings are not our adversary, but our building, we could understand we're coming here to be charged up, to be trained and launched out.
That's right.
And no building can contain, you know, what can happen. Charles Simpson wrote a book called The Flower Pots and Vines, Ants, Vines, and Flower Pots, I believe it is. And he talks about we've turned the church into a flower pot. And it's a vine. We got pretty flower pots. We put all this money into the flower pot. And, you know, we got great carpet in it and everything else. But it's in a pot. And the root system just kind of packs in that place. And you can't grow any bigger.
Yeah.
And you would think how big some things are. You would think, well, that's got to be great, but it's still limited. If there's that many people truly walking as disciples of Jesus Christ, that large of a group, it would take over the whole world.
Yeah, that exponential growth will blow out the building.
There's no way. I mean, that would be, you know, and what happens is we coagulate finances and we fire it off like a rocket at one particular place and we do something good and we go, look what we're doing. But are we winning souls? I mean, are we winning people into the kingdom of God?
Are we making disciples?
Are we making disciples? In an environment like this, it is kind of difficult because people have been taught so many things religiously that they don't think you're actually supposed to know Jesus' teachings and follow his teachings. I mean, it's an odd, peculiar thing to them. But that's not strange because when Jesus was walking the streets in Jerusalem, they thought it was strange for people to follow him and to listen to his teachings. So the people in the buildings were going, oh, that's Jesus. He just has a parachurch ministry.
That's right.
He's doing a little something outside the building, right? Yeah, that's what they would say.
Exactly.
He's Jesus.
Yeah.
He's Jesus.
He's not doing it in here. Something's wrong with him. Yeah, he's not doing it at the temple. What is the problem?
Right. As a matter of fact, they even got concerned when Jesus had this parachurch ministry going on because they were concerned people were going to leave their building.
Mm.
And so they got jealous of Jesus and his parachurch. He didn't have a parachurch. Obviously, he is ministry. Yes. He is the church. But that's how they perceived it, the religious folks of that day. and they were concerned about people following him instead of following them.
Wow.
And it's like, wow, that just never goes away, does it? It doesn't go away.
Yeah.
But remember this, follow Jesus and follow those who follow Jesus. You'll find out you're all going in the same direction. You'd be really surprised how large that number is. And when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, when you get to a place of eternity, you're able to answer and say, you know, he asked you the question, were you faithful with that which I entrusted to you?
Yeah.
And we're going to talk more about the survey, I know, but just
powerful. There's a whole conversation because we've got to begin to start thinking about this as we are in phase two of the
Great Awakening.
We are in phase two, so we're talking about multitudes of people that are going to be coming to the Lord.
Right.
Cities transformed. That's what awakening means. It's not just a revival movement, but it's a transformation. Mm-hmm. And so there are going to be people everywhere coming to Christ, and no building is going to contain it. You know, I believe that's probably the start of the stadiums and all the different things are going to be happening. And we're going to start talking about the original intent of the church as far as the church is not a building, but it's the people of God is where two or three come together.
Yeah, and look, too, that, you know, Vine Seminars, when they do come up, you know, we'll be having those with the VFN Kingdom business. It's called Vine Seminars. We're called to be a vine, not a flower pot. And it'll really encourage you on how to really rethink God's original tent for the church, and that you can do this inside buildings, outside buildings, or anywhere. But think of this as things begin to shift, that all of a sudden your building becomes a place to train folks up and to launch folks out instead of a place to contain folks and just store them for the next 60 years before they go to meet. God, I just want to tell you, I kept this roast for 60 years right here on the front row in this refrigerator unit called this building. And here you go.
Well, you know, this I'm just reminded right now that some reports are, I believe it was George Barna, and I'll have the book for you. We'll make sure it's related for you. But I think it's called, I'll have the name
statistics,
for you.
The book with stats on the church. Yeah.
Yes, but what he says is that if...
Revolution.
Yeah. He says that within 7 years, if whoever, and I think it's probably shorter now, but within 7 years... If the church attendee, the member of the body of Christ, member of the church, doesn't get involved, they will find themselves on the way out. They'll just leave the church, leave God.
Right.
But we are meant to serve. As Jesus, Jesus says, I'm not one who, you know, you come to serve. It's in the napkin.
Well, not only that, he says, when I come back, I better find you busy serving.
Hell, was it grape juice?
Grapes of wrath.
Well, no.
What?
It worked in the vineyard.
Oh, yeah. Grape stains on your hands and vineyard soil on your
That's
feet.
Right.
I mean, yes, you want to be found. But he says, when he comes back, you better be found busy about his business. Not just busy, but busy about his business.
That's right.
And so these statistics are revealing the very fact that, you know, we're being very religious, but are we busy about the Lord's business? If it just took 12 and one of those was Judas, the other one was Thomas, constantly having to explain to him over and over again because he's like doubting everything.
And it's okay. Yeah. It's okay to evaluate what we are doing.
Right.
Is what you're doing worth Jesus Christ dying for?
That's exactly
it. Is it worth it at the end of the day? And you tally it all up.
Right.
Is this what Jesus came, you know, is
and
all
Steve
about?
Hill, remember Steve Hill used to always say at the Brownsville Revival, he'd say, you know, religion is hanging around the cross.
Mm.
But Christianity is getting on the cross.
That's right.
You know, one man said, you know, that Christianity is not a dream. It's a war. I mean, because you're going into darkness to be able to tell when some folks, I mean, God could call, if you really understood this, you would walk around in fear and trembling because at any moment he could say, you need to go to Pakistan. You need to go there.
Yeah.
You know, put on the garb, go there and begin to just win Pakistanis to me.
Yeah.
That's the God that we serve.
Yeah.
That was a day that the church in America felt that way. You think about the Moravian folks, you know, that laid a foundation of prayer for over 100 years that began to birth a missionary movement that went around the world and still being impacted today. But they were ready. That was just part of being a Christian, that you're going to go and potentially, more than likely, die in the mission field. And they were going to put a big billboard up with your name on or put a stone in a wall somewhere. They were just going to send you a replacement.
Yeah.
Because eternity's real.
It's real. C.T. Studd, the missionary, I don't have the direct quote for you, but he said something to the effect that he wasn't content to hang around the chapel bell of a regular church, but he wanted to be outside the gates of hell. And he wanted to win the lost, and he wanted to be all about being about the Father's business. And I think we just get comfortable in the fact, let's just go.
I know what state that's at.
The state.
So let's continue on with this survey here. I think we're fixing to go to a break in just a moment.
Well, Dr. Eagle says that there's three factors that were generating this trend. And he says the first factor is that mega churches having an inherent appeal.
Churches of 500 or more.
Or more. They have an appeal for those who do not want to regularly attend church. So that's one of the factors that's driving that trend.
Because you don't know if I was there or not, because it's sort of like the camouflage that a Marine wears in the woods, right?
I was in the balcony. Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't.
Have you noticed that? If you go to a football stadium, they actually take the seats and paint them different colors so that when you're looking at a crowd, the way pixels work in the video and all, it looks like the stadium's full.
Right.
But even though there's like 10 empty seats and somebody and something, it's kind of sporadically done. And that's what crowds are like.
Yeah.
And this is the whole thing. We're just then making the decision for men to follow God instead of for God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
The one, every man, including John and me, we need a savior.
Yes.
We are flawed people and we need God. Mm-hmm. I mean, the very fact of saying you're a Christian is saying you're a Christ follower, that you're a sinner, that you needed a savior.
That's right.
Christian means I needed and need a savior.
Yeah.
It's a place of humility. And to think you can go that long and not have the, not was it 81% of American Christians don't even pick up their Bible at all? 81%?
Yeah.
Think about 81% think, oh, I'm in this gathering of 500 or more. We got this thing figured out. We got, you know, great stuff going on right now and just doing church.
Well, it goes to that statement that you might have heard before where, you know, someone may say, well, I haven't been to church, quote unquote, you know, in a couple of weeks. I feel so lost, so empty. You got to ask the question, did 2 days of attendance actually, you know, you're called to walk this thing out with God.
We're about to go to a break, but, you know, I love the church. I love the church. We wouldn't even be doing what we're doing if we didn't love the church. But enough to say the truth that, listen, you're going to have to, no matter what people tell you in every, I mean, it's like every funeral, people go, yeah, he's in a better place. And, you know, people start looking around the rooms like, did you know who's in that? It's like, if he's going to a better place.
Not everybody.
Right? Not everybody's in a better place. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's appointed once to die. And then the judgment, many people, most people, according to Jesus, do not make it to heaven. Think about that. According to Jesus, most people are on the wide road that leads to destruction. People that actually, which to hell, but people that go to heaven are on the narrow road, he said. And few find it. And so you got to pay attention. If you're just in this crowd and this wide road experience, that you could be in the wrong crowd. And crowds are not bad. Crowds are good. But understanding you still, even if you're in this huge crowd and you're all camouflaged in by your religious experience, God sees you. He knows your heart and he loves you. He's got a plan for your life. And if you'll get in the word of God and say, you know what? I'm going to begin to abide with you, Lord. And whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do because I am your disciple. Listen, we have a plan for you if you want to begin to abide with God. It's at iabide.org. It's a simple plan. You request it. It's free. But people want to do that because of the huge religious environment. They don't know how to do it. They need a plan to do it. We have that plan for you. It's an awesome plan. It's a beautiful plan. Young people, old people, people are walking down this from all around the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's at iabide.org. We'll be right back after this break.
This is VFN. We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis. You know, it doesn't matter what size. A gift and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered, you can actually go to VFNTV.com and just click on partner now and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you too to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then Green Room. There's, you know, some interviews that we had that we asked other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air. And we just put that, you know, in the green room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says. When you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So we are talking about this particular study that was done by Duke University talking about mega gatherings, mega churches, which is 500 or more based on their study.
Right.
And they found out that people who are in 500 or more size church groups are less involved.
Than smaller
and
size.
I know a lot of pastors, and I totally understand. This is true.
Yeah.
But the thing is that people bought into the idea that that's okay.
Right.
But it's really, think about it. It could be better to have 12 that were doing something. And since they're not doing anything anyway, what's the big deal? Just let them. Oh, and then get rid of the mortgage. Get rid of the building.
Yeah, that's right.
You shouldn't be living for that building there. But what's the three things that they found out?
Three trends. First is megachurches have an inherent appeal for those who do not want to regularly attend church. So that's the first one. They attract people that don't want to attend regularly, I guess, so they can hide. Then the second thing is that megachurch attendees struggle to form social connections. Mm-hmm. And so there seems to be attraction with people that are not relational and don't want to connect and we would say build family. They're attracted to a megachurch style because, again, since there's so many, you know, one can conclude is that
Children with big families complain that they never get any attention. You know why? Because, I mean, family of five, family of six. Yeah. It's like, you've done everything for Bobby, but you did nothing for me. I mean, now think about 500 children. That's a great place for a child to get lost in a crowd, right?
Absolutely.
But to be okay with being lost means maybe I'm not doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. So that's the three things?
No, and the third thing is that megachurch attendees are having more members with higher incomes than smaller congregations. And the reason they give behind this is because we've seen a rise in two-income family households. And what they're indicating is that those with a higher income are looking, you know, for a megachurch that they can just be a part of as opposed to having to be involved and play an active volunteer role. They say they don't have the time. Both of us are working. We're generating this income. We just need a place to land, just a place we can basically
I've been so busy building my own kingdom.
Mm.
That I don't have any time for God's kingdom, right?
Exactly.
Making more money. Yeah. I mean, we're not like in America making bricks with no straw here. We're blessed. We're the richest country. Our poorest person, John, and we know we're going to be coming to a time to pray, but our poorest person, the poorest person in America, John, is richer than 70% of the world's population. If you the average income in the world is around $1,200 a year. A year.
Wow.
And we think we have to be that busy building our own kingdoms, getting more money for more stuff and more things. Why, according to George Barna, the book Revolution, I believe 97% of these crew don't even give God his tithes and offerings.
Yes. Yes.
97%.
This wealth has been an indictment, really.
Right, right. Listen, we had a chance to be able to see over 3 million men go to Washington, D.C. on the Mall and pray and repent for our sin and what was going on. We had a chance to be a part of that.
Yes.
And I wanted to encourage you that the future, this is a seed that was planted that we're reaping, I believe, the harvest in this third great awakening coming up. In addition to that, because James Gall had talked about that, but understand that we can do this again. We can rise up again and we can gather again and God responds to humble prayer. This is Washington, D.C. This is Promise Keepers. Over 3 million men reported scattered everywhere on their knees, repenting for what? For just blatant disregard for God's word, what he tells us to do. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Wow.
A blatant disregard. And it's just a powerful, powerful moment. As a matter of fact, let's just close out with him.
Please pray.
Father, we thank you for this opportunity to humbly acknowledge and confess our blatant disregard for your written word. Father, how can we be spiritual leaders in our families and be men of integrity unless we read your word? How can we practice sexual purity unless we read your word? How can we be Christ-like in the workplace and share the love of Jesus unless
we read your word? And how can we ever know how much you love us unless we read your word? Forgive us for ignoring you in this way, and build within us a passion to commune with you through your word. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.